Good morning. Let's pray once more. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you. We praise you for your mercy. We praise you for your kindness and your goodness. We praise you for your glory, your power and strength. Father, we pray, Lord, as we read and study and meditate on your word this morning, Father, we pray that you would open our eyes of our spirit, Lord, that you would be here graciously and powerfully through your Holy Spirit, Father, that you would draw us into your presence, help us to not only hear your words, but Lord, let us see and experience your glory and your truth. And may we worship you. May our hearts be stirred and drawn to love you more, Lord, and focus on you more. Help us. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. As you see from the title of the sermon up there, this summer I'm going to be speaking four times, and I want to do a short four-part series on the book of Revelation. Obviously, we're not going to be able to cover the whole book and talk about all the interesting and amazing things in the book, but I do want to talk about some of the things that could help us in as we continue to study the book of Revelation, as we study the entire Bible, whether it be our own devotional time and our study or other settings. I felt that it would be helpful to for us to focus on why we should read and study and meditate on the book of Revelation, and also how we're going to talk some of the things that may help us in terms of how we should approach the book of Revelation. And also we want to get some major themes, the big picture. What are some big ideas that God wants us to know in the book of Revelation? So, let me first talk about why we should read and study and meditate on the book of Revelation. And I say this because for many of us, probably book of Revelation is the most difficult or intimidating book. Or sometimes some people feel like book of Revelation is not the sort of bread and butter of Christian theology or our study of the Bible. And it's, if you feel like that, that's very common. In fact, one of the greatest Bible teacher, preacher, commentator, John Calvin in 1500s, he wrote, he preached on and wrote commentaries on every book of the Bible except the book of Revelation and maybe one other, I can't remember, right? Because so even someone like that, he had a very difficult time with this book. And as I was growing up, I was like, yes, you know, when I thought about studying the Bible, I go to books like Romans or the Gospels or Epistles. But I always like, I don't know about book of Revelation. I don't know how much good it's going to do me if I read and study and focus on the book of Revelation. And of course, there are many ways we can misuse the book of Revelation or misapply and kind of get weird with that. But so why? Because first reason why we should focus on the book of Revelation, as well as every other books in the Bible, is because God wants us to read it, listen to the messages, understand the message, and heed or live out the message of the book of Revelation. In verse 1 of chapter 1, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him, Jesus, to show his bondservants, that are his people, Christians, things which must soon take place. So God wants to reveal these things that are contained in the book of Revelation. So God wants his bondservants, his people to know. So he gave Jesus this revelation to give it to show to his bondservants. And so Jesus, I believe, it says he sent, I believe that's Jesus. Jesus sent and communicated this revelation by his angel, who comes out in the book of Revelation, to his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. So what's going on here is that God wants to reveal these things. God wants his people to know these things. So he gave the revelation to Jesus. That's why the title is Revelation of Jesus Christ. God gave revelation to Jesus Christ, and God, through his angel, his messenger, revealed this to the Apostle John, who then wrote this letter to the seven churches in Asia Minor. But the seven churches in Asia Minor, they needed to hear, but so do all the churches everywhere and throughout the history. So these seven churches, in some sense, they're a prototype of all the churches, right? Or the church universal. So God, through Jesus, and Jesus through his angels and John, he's giving these things. Now, God is doing this because he wants us to know and communicate. So, at the end of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 16, it says, I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things for the churches, you being Apostle John. So Jesus, God the Father wants us to know, and Jesus wants them to know so that he, through his angel, testify these things to John so that John can relate that to the churches. So please know that, because I used to think like maybe I shouldn't study the book of Revelation because, you know, this is sort of really, somewhat esoteric or some specialized knowledge, and maybe God doesn't want me to know. Maybe God just wants me to focus on Romans or Gospel of John. But no, God wants us to know the message of the book of Revelation. And in chapter 22, verse 10, it says, do not seal up the words of the prophecy in this book. Do not hide. Do not put away. Do not seal up the message, the words of this, of the prophecy of this book. God wants us to know as well. So that's the first reason. Second reason is that, which is related to first reason. Why does God want us to know? Because this book of prophecy or book of Revelation comes with a promise of blessing. Chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. So, you know, the blessing of reading and understanding and following or living out the word of God is very implicit in the entire Bible. But here, the blessing is made very explicit, right? So if you read and hear and heed, meaning you respond in a positive way, you live out the things or live out the implications of the things which are written in the book of Revelation, God says, blessed is he. There is explicit blessing related to it. And this blessing is not only stated in chapter 1, it is repeated at the end of the book of Revelation in chapter 22, verse 7. It says, "And behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book." Again, so, you know, John bookends. He in the very beginning, chapter 1, he gives a blessing. Also at the end of book of Revelation, chapter 22, he gives another blessing. He does that as a way of emphasizing there's a blessing. And if you reread, if we pay attention and study, and we respond in a positive way by living out the implications of this book. And this blessing is, again, repeated in chapter 22, verse 14. "Blessed are those who wash their robes." I think this is those people who have heard and read, and then they respond positively by living out the implication, washing their robes, which is another symbolic way or metaphorical way of saying their righteous deeds or acts of trust and obedience to God is metaphorically expressed as washing their robes. "Blessed are they, so that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter by the gates into the city," referring to entering into the kingdom of God, salvation. So, why does God want us to read it and heed the message of the book of Revelation? Because the message of the book of Revelation is not any different, essentially, than the message of Romans or Gospel of John or Ephesians. It's the gospel. Right? Because if we listen, study, meditate, and respond positively, we will enter into the kingdom of God. This is the gospel. So we need to hear and heed and respond obediently, trustingly, according to this message of Revelation, so that we may be truly blessed and enter into the kingdom of God. But there is particular angle or particular flavor that Book of Revelation that brings that it helps particularly with giving the people of God a sense of urgency. Not that other books don't, but in some way it does more so than other books. Book of Revelation gives us sense of urgency. And it emphasizes things like return of Christ. It gives us the big picture of human history. It's very helpful. The book of Revelation, I believe, is very helpful in that it gives a sense of urgency and understanding of what life is all about and how we ought to approach it by giving us the bigger picture of human history. Probably better than other books, and it encourages us to have a right kind of attitude and resolve as we experience different challenges and hardships in life. It teaches us to have a correct expectations about how we in our life and as we approach life. It gives us particular kind of wisdom and it helps us to prepare in living our lives. So I believe if we, with the help of this Holy Spirit, of course, when we read and understand and give our allow Holy Spirit to help us respond positively to the message of the Revelation, we would be encouraged, strengthened in our Christian walk, and we would find meaning and purpose in our hardships and different kinds of trials and our struggles, so that we don't give up in our faith. we don't lose our heart and we don't despair as we face different challenges in our life. So it's a very helpful book. That's why we should read it and study it. Now, let me talk a little bit about how we should do it. Now, this is not an exhaustive how. I mean, it would take more than one session to cover everything. But I do want to give some sort of... Well, first of all, I want to explain what I'm doing this summer with four sermons. But also, I want to sort of give you sort of helpful guidelines as how we should approach Book of Revelation. Book of Revelation. Okay, chapter 1 is what part of what we read. It's sort of introduction. Jesus, we're told why God is telling us and what this is all about. So he gives us orientation as to what the Book of Revelation is. And chapters 2 and 3 are the seven letters written to the seven churches in Asia Minor, which where Jesus sort of evaluate each church and talks about what they're doing well and what are some of the things that they are not doing so well. And Jesus gives them encouragements and warnings and sometimes rebukes and calls them to repent continue to obey or press on. So there are these messages to seven churches. That's chapter 2 and 3. And from chapter 4 all the way to chapter, I would say, 21, beginning of 22, we have the vision. God said in the beginning about God showing what soon must take place, right? And a lot of these things that is this vision of what's going to take place at the end of human history are given in a very symbolic, what some people call apocalyptic way of communicating. So this is where a lot of people have a hard time with, right? Because there's a lot of symbolism and a lot of heavenly, fantastic, metaphorical, spiritual things going on. And this is where a lot of us, we get overwhelmed, like, whoa, right? So the whole book, in the middle, the bulk of the Revelation, when you see dragons and like this seven trumpets and seven seals and seven bowls of wrath. And then there's a lot of wrath and rebellion and antichrist stuff going on. And some of us, we get scared by that, right? I think it usually is a good kind of fear, but right? And then chapter 22, at the end, from 6 through end of the thing, a lot of things that that we were given, like the blessings and reason why we should study and read, are stated again. Now, first thing I want to say is that instead of jumping into the middle, where there are a lot of visions and metaphorical imageries and symbolic visions, before you get into that, what we want to do is we want to focus on, as an initial step, how God introduces this letter in chapter 1 and also chapter 22. Because this book ending instruction as to how we should understand the book of Revelation helps us to better understand what's in the middle. Right? So, because some of us, we get so, I don't know, at least I used to be like that. Chapter 1 doesn't seem that important sometimes, so we just skip it, and then we just jump into the visions and all these prophecies, and then we get very confused. But what we want to do is we want to pay attention to what's in chapter 1 and what's in chapter 22. That gives us proper understanding of how we should approach and understand the big and important message is in the middle. And so that's one of the things that we'll be doing, is that I want to emphasize things in chapter 1 and in chapter 22 so that we are better prepared when we do study what's in the middle, these prophecies and visions, that we can have a better understanding. And chapter 1 and chapter 22, it's like, it's not in symbolic language for the most part. It's much easier to understand. It's much more straightforward, right? So it would help us. Second thing is that we need to understand Book of Revelation in the historical context of the seven churches in Asia Minor. It's very interesting because on the Fridays we're studying 1 Peter, and 1 Peter is also written to churches in Asia Minor who are undergoing persecution, right? Book of Revelation, this is written later on, probably 30 years later on, but it is also written to churches in Asia Minor who are undergoing persecution. So that one of the major reasons that this, it's not the only reason, but one of the major reasons and most pertinent reason for the churches in Asia Minor at the time when John was writing was that they're going to, some of them are already experiencing persecution and severe and systematic persecution is coming from Roman Empire. And this book is supposed to help them to prepare for this time of persecution so that they may be able to endure, persevere, and overcome and not lose their faith so that they may enter into the kingdom of God. Right? So, we have to understand whatever that's in the middle with dragons and antichrist, whatever. If they properly have understood these messages, that would have strengthened and prepared for them for persecution, right? And there, I do believe there's a great application for us, which we'll talk about it at some point. Those of us who are living in the West, for the most part, we don't experience persecution the way a lot of the Christians have experienced in some parts of the world and in history. And even now, a lot of the Christians who are experiencing persecutions in some parts of the world. But we face different kind of spiritual danger and struggles and trials. And I believe this message of Book of Revelation will also help us and also prepare for us for these trials and spiritual hardships. So that's the second thing. Understanding the historical context will help us understand the message of the book, Revelation. Last thing, in terms of how we should approach Book of Revelation, is that, you know, we talk about, we need to not only understand and see the trees, each tree in the forest, but it is important for us to see the forest as a whole as well. So I'm not saying we only need to see the forest, big picture. We want to understand the trees as individual trees as well as the big forest. But sometimes we get so, especially when we're studying books like Revelation, we get so hung up on each tree or each branch, like who is the Antichrist? Or when is this going to happen? Or what does the seven seal, what does that mean? You know, we get so hung up on each interpretation of each symbols or assertions given in the book of Revelation, we lose the sight of overall message of the book of Revelation. So what we want to do is that we want to touch upon some of the major themes that are very clear. And they're clear because one of the things that John does is that he repeats himself a lot, right? That's way to emphasize certain things. And by repeating and saying in many different ways the same thing, there is a clarity right? We want to see these big messages, important messages, so that we are better prepared to interpret these specific things, as well as, you know, when you have a big, when we have understanding of the big picture, we're not as troubled when we don't understand specific details of a lot of these prophecies. So focus on the big picture and major themes, as well as specific things. So that's what we want to do. Okay, now the rest of the time, I do want to talk about a couple of major themes from our passage in chapter 1, and then we'll talk about, we'll close with some applications. So, in some sense, this is the main thing, right? One major theme, if not the most important theme in the book of Revelation is, as verse 1 articulates, it says, the revelation or revealing of the things which must soon take place. Right? And this language of soon is sort of tricky because John wrote this letter about 2,000 years ago. So what do you mean, John? It must take place soon. But what we need to understand is that in the biblical understanding of human history, from the time that Jesus died and resurrected, and until the time that Jesus returns again, is the last stage of human history. It's called the last days, right? After that, it's eternity, new heavens and new earth. So, so that this last days, the last stage or last chapter, if you will, of human history started when Jesus died and resurrected. So that the last days, this last chapter started when already at the time of the disciples, the apostles, and when John is writing. So during this time, all these things are already happening. And it's been happening, and it's intensifying, and it's going to culminate with the Antichrist, and then Jesus will come. So even though it's taking over, or around, as of now, 2,000 years, a lot of the things are written in the book of Revelation in a smaller forms or lesser degree. It is already happening, and we see this, and it's increasing. Major thing that we see is that there is increasing sin and rebellion against God, right? And you know, we don't want to, I don't want to over interpret this or in a way that gives you false sense of fear. Because, you know, it's interesting, in the church history, almost every generation thought that they were the last, you know, Jesus is coming this, my lifetime, right? So I'm not saying Jesus is, I mean, he could theoretically, I believe, right? But we don't know exact, but we know things are getting closer and closer, right? And we know this is because humanity as a whole is deviating from the purpose and the plan and the design of God more and more. And we see this in our own time, right? It would have been unthinkable 30 years ago, right, that things like gay marriage, transgender issue, that to be a real issue. When I was a teenager, it was just unthinkable, right? And all these things our society as a whole, we are deviating further and further away from the design and purpose of God. And I believe this is an expression of our increasing sin and rebellion against God. Now, but here's the thing. Not that any of these did not exist 30 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago, right? Homosexualities and all these gender confusions and all these issues always existed. But the thing that is happening is that it is no longer a private sins and private issues, that now we as a whole society as a whole, we are embracing the norms and practices that are clearly deviating from the purposes of God, right? So we see this increasing sins and rebellion against God. So we see this on one hand. The other hand, what we see in Revelation is that God is responding with judgment and outpouring of his wrath on the wicked. These people who refuse to turn back to God and repent. And they continue on their pursuit of self-idolatry and sin and rebellion. There is judgment, so that there are these signs or sort of samples or foretastes of God's judgment on humanity, which are going to escalate. But also there is vindication and rescuing and reward to the righteous, to the people of God. So both of these things, sin and rebellion on one hand, judgment of God on the wicked, and rescuing and vindication of the righteous, these are already happening in smaller scale and increasing. Important application is this. If we don't pay attention to these bigger currents in human history and what God is doing and what human history is going towards, what we could do is that we can carve out a small, comfortable, our own little world, and we could shut out what's going on in the world, what's going on in human history, what God is doing, and we don't pay attention to what God is doing and what is going on in this world, so that instead of responding to these things with right attitude and right heart and love for the people and love for God, what we do is we focus on just creating a happy, comfortable, our own little lives. Right? And then so that our views and our heart gets smaller, and what all we care about is our own little problems and our own little concerns. And then we are just happy in our own with our own little group of friends, and we just try to live our own little lives. The problem with that is that in that way, it's a milder expression of rebellion, but it is a form of sin and rebellion against God, saying that, God, I don't want to know about what your plan is and what you're doing and human history. I just want my own little thing. I want to have control. I want to be comfortable. I want to be secure in my little world. Now, Book of Revelation is very helpful in this. If through this truth and the Holy Spirit, he can help us break out of our own little world. And he can enlarge our hearts and our mind so that we could see and we could grow our love and compassion towards the dying world. And he calls us to respond with prayers and care and concern. And we all struggle with this. And that's why this message of Revelation is what we need. It teaches us our little own problems in our comfort of our middle class America is not that important. Our grades, am I going to get a B- or A+? Not that important. Am I going to make 50,000 or 70,000? Not that important. in the bigger scheme of things, in the context of eternal hell and heaven, right? It's not that important, right? We need to get our eyes off of our trivial and not so important things of our lives and start focusing on what God is doing, what's going on in the world, and people who are suffering and dying and what we can do about it. It helps with that, right? Because we shut out so much of what's going on theologically in the Bible and also through what's going on in the news in the world, we sort of isolate ourselves or insulate ourselves in our little cocoon. That's when we become very selfish and so introspective in a bad way, right? And that's why we are not very loving and Christ-like. And we need help with that. And Book of Revelation can help us, right? So that's one sort of big picture theme. The other major theme that I want to talk about this morning is that whether it be God the Father, or it be God the Son, or the God the Holy Spirit, God, he's presented, he's proclaimed to us as the sovereign, all-powerful, almighty God. And I love this, right? Because there is so much, for the lack of a better word, crazy things happening, right? Nations are rising, Antichrist is rising, and there's earthquakes and famines and all these sins and rebellions and Hallad, the great Hallad, Babylon, all these things going on. In the midst of all that, we see God is not blinking an eye. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's in control from the beginning of the book to the very end of the book. He is not shocked. He is not startled. He is not worried. He is not anxious. He doesn't want to do. He is absolute control. He knows exactly what he's doing, even with all the crazy things going on in this world. He is presented from the very beginning as a ruler. Jesus is presented as a ruler of the kings of the earth. I love this. Right? All the powerful kings and world leaders, it says Jesus is the one who's ruling. Apart from Jesus' permission, no one can rise to the power. And every person who falls in their power, it is because Jesus either allows it or causes that person to fall. When a nation rises, it's not because of overwhelming power of that nation. It is God who is in control. You know, this year is election year. You know, we could talk about who's going to be the next president. We could joke about it. But ultimately, you know, Jesus is not worried. Everything is under control. Right? Jesus is presented as the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is triumphant. He is presented as a conquering king. We see that he is king of glory and dominion. God, and then God is presented again and again as eternal and sovereign God, who is, who was, and he is to come. He is who he is with complete power and knowledge. He is in control, and he always was like that. And no matter what may happen in our little planet Earth, he will always be like that. He is to come. He's the Almighty. He's the Alpha, creator of all things. He's the Omega. He's the purpose for which we are all created. So, there are all these expressions of describing the sovereign, absolute power and glory of God, right? In chapter 1, verse 4, when he gives them this blessing of grace, he says, grace to you and peace. And it says, from him who is and who was and who is to come. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne. Right? Because the spirit is the one who often goes out and sanctifies people, accomplish God's will regarding redemption. Right? His throne representing God's power and authority. And verse 5, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. See, this is the emphasis. This revelation Jesus is giving to his angels to give to John, to the church, this is a truth. This is faithful witness. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, and he has made us to be a kingdom priest to his God and Father, to him be glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we are given this picture of God who is absolutely sovereign, in control, almighty. Let me close with three applications. One, remember that the message of the book of Revelation comes with a blessing of eternal salvation. So that as we read and study, remember that the purpose for which we read and study is so that we would respond in faith and obedience, so that we will enter into the kingdom of God. It is for blessing that we read. Not just to scare us, not just to learn and accumulate esoteric knowledge. No, we learn so that we would embrace the blessing that God has for us. And this is for all the scriptures, right? But also especially in the book of Revelation, we study with the intent to be shaped by the word so that we would be a blessed people. We'll be the people of God, right? So remember the blessing that God has for us as we let the book of Revelation shape us and speak to our lives. Number two, what we really need is the truth. Not what we want to hear. This is very important because in our we still have our sinful nature. Often, if we're not careful, what we tend to turn to and what we desire is not necessarily the truth, but we want things that pleases our ears. Right? There are certain things we want to hear more. Right? But what we actually need is the truth. So God does not just give us what we want to hear, but he gives us the truth because in the long run and in reality, that is what we need and that is what is good for us. I really pray that God, as God is working in our lives and sanctifying us and making us, causing us to grow, that he will make us people who love the truth and desire the truth, not what sounds good to our ears. You know, the story that comes to my mind again and again is Book of Jeremiah, you know. God is fed up with Israel and Judah, or in Jeremiah's Judah, and God is calling them to repentance. And saying, hey guys, you're not in a good place. You need to repent. You need to turn away from your sexual immoralities. And you need to turn away from your idolatry. You need to turn away from oppression of the poor people. You need to come back and repent to God and change your ways so that you will be blessed. You will be happy. Right? So that's the message God is giving to Jeremiah. But the people don't like that. What do you mean we're in big trouble? What do you mean God's going to judge us? And they turn to false prophets. And there are a lot, you know, there's Jeremiah, puny little Jeremiah, just and the right, kind of weird, right? Weeping all the time, right? And then there are all these like false prophets. There are many of them. And they say, oh, hey, let us prophesy. And then they say, peace, peace. God is going to bless us. What do you mean? God's not angry with us. God is happy with us. Just continue to do what you want to do. This is great. God is blessing, right? Peace, peace. When there is no peace. So that people, when they heard both, you know, from Jeremiah and false prophet, they say, I think we're going to go with these, not with Jeremiah, but with these false prophets, right? We like the message of peace, right? So the entire nation gets wiped out because they rather hear the lies than the truth. Now, and this is one of the big challenges, you know, as we study the Bible and read the Bible. And in some sense, particularly with the book of Revelation, because is that truth, even when we understand the book of Revelation, truth, it doesn't make us feel good in a way that we want to feel good, right? It makes us uncomfortable. When we read, especially when I read chapter 2 and 3, when Jesus is evaluating and rebuking these churches, like, wow, Jesus doesn't, like, pull punches. He just, like, you know, just points out these sins. And as I read it, it makes me very uncomfortable. And he calls, instead of saying all these wonderful words of commendations and praise, Jesus says, repent. And those words convict me, and I don't like it, right? I don't feel good about it. But that often, that's what I need. Because that's how we experience blessings. And what we want to hear is that John, you know, sometimes I can imagine, like, John, for the rest of your life, U.S. economy is just going to go up and up. You should invest in the stock market. And no wars and no, you know, just your life is just going to be, you know, that's what I want to hear. But the truth is, no, life is, but God says it's not like that. There are so many ugly things in life. There are brokenness and there are sins, not just out there, but in my life and in the life of those people around us. And the message of the Bible in general, but Revelation in particular, it calls us to trust God, calls us to come to God to deal with this, and ask God for help us and cling to Him. Which is not an easy message, but it is a very necessary message. And it's the message that will ultimately help us and will give us true blessing. So we need truth. Last thing I want to close this message with is that, like I already mentioned this, we need the perspective of the book of Revelation, perspective on life. Especially in America, especially in the affluence and sort of isolated everyday life of Americans from poverty, for the most part, poverty, war, you know, all different kinds of social injustice for so many of us, we can slip into comfort and sort of, we could major in the frivolous and not so important things in this life. And we all struggle with this, right? But Book of Revelation calls us to be serious about life, you know? A lot of us, we don't want to, you know, especially in this world, being serious is not cool, it's not hip, right? We just want to have fun and we want to be interesting. When there's life and death struggle, when there's heaven and hell struggle, so the book of Revelation calls us back to the important and often very harsh reality of life and calls us to be serious because and it helps us from falling into triviality and frivolousness and not worry and not care about such small things. It teaches us what's critical in life. It teaches us what's really important in life. It teaches us what really matters in life. And it calls us not to sweat the small stuff, fleeting stuff, insignificant stuff. And I know it's hard, right? Because Cornell is kind of bubble, right? Not getting that internship feels like your world is crashing down, or not getting that particular grade can, you know, or not you being left out in that social circle, or you being snubbed by someone, it feels like the greatest injustice has been done to you, right? But Book of Revelation gives us better perspective. Don't sweat the small stuff. Major on major things. Lastly, when we properly understand and focus, meditate on the Book of Revelation, it causes us to focus on the greatness of God, our God, His grandeur, His sovereignty, the bigness of God. It helps us to take the eyes of ourselves and focus on and start seeing and adore and admire and praise and worship our God, who is truly God and who is truly worthy of our praise and worthy of our devotion. So I pray for myself and for all of us that God would do this for us, that God would give us sometimes hard to see or hard to swallow, but good, important truths through the Book of Revelation. It will call us closer to Himself, help us to be alert, help us not to be spiritually blinded, and see the glory of God more and more. Let's pray. Let's take a couple of minutes and just personally respond to the message.